Okay, everybody, welcome to Module 5 of Rescue My Marriage. Today, we're going to be covering faith in marriage, finding a spiritual connection to each other. And this is one I'm going to just share real quickly that Elise and I have been on our journey of connecting together spiritually for some time. And so really what we want to be bringing to what?
I was going to say our journey specifically in this area goes all the way back to the 60 days of sex challenge.
Yeah.
Because I can't remember if I shared it in the modules or not. So if you already heard the story, just humor me since you can't tell me that. When we were doing the 60 days of sex challenge, I'll never forget, Tony said, I think we should start praying together. Now, mind you, we had already added on having sex every day.
Right.
And now he's like, I think we should, you know, add on praying together. And so we're laying there in bed and he's like, okay, I'm going to pray. And Tony starts to pray. And I did just remember that I said, I did say this in the videos, but I think it's just a funny story and a good way to kick off today is that he starts praying and I start with the 7-year-old girl slumber party giggles to the point where I couldn't stop. I mean, they like literally bubbled up from my toes laying there in bed. And it was one of those things where it shut down our spiritual intimacy for a really long time.
Right.
And that goes back to year 11. We're coming up on year 20. So nine years of this journey, 9 years out of our 20 years. But I see that we have a win. So Jeremy and Maya, do you guys want to, can they come?
Yeah.
Do you guys want to share it? Or do you want us to click on so that everybody can hear it? Or do you want to just post it in the chat. In the notes.
Either way is cool with us. And we're waiting.
So, okay.
Void.
So.
So we have the ability to actually have you guys come on and share with everybody live with video. So if you want to do that, we can have you come on that way. Or you can just put it in the chat room right there and we can read it. So either way works for us. Okay. You look at that. All right. So put it in the chat and we're going to read it as it comes up in the chat and we're going to get going. So we want to hear those wins though. So if something comes up, please share it. We want to hear it, put it in the chat. Or if you want to raise your hand as a participant, when you raise your hand, it means that we see you and we can get you on and you can share via video. You know, it's a live, you're live, and we've done that in the past here. So let's get it started. If you have questions, we definitely want to hear those questions, you guys. It's a big topic. It's big. And we want to at least begin to break down some stuff for you guys so you can learn from us, what we've been doing, what we continue to try and do, and be able to begin that faith journey and that spiritual connection journey in your own marriage.
So Jeremy and Maya said, we just got a prayer answered in the form of suddenly being able to afford to attend the marriage retreat with C3 Church.
That's awesome.
Awesome.
I love it. I love it. Yeah. Being in connection with folks and being in that is awesome.
And let's see. This is huge for us. Jeremy's unemployed right now. We are paycheck to paycheck with my income, but somehow we are finding additional funds and time off work for me.
Sweet.
That's not somehow, that's a miracle.
Yeah.
And
I love that.
What we know from being in the marriage world for the last 6+ years is that God is still doing miracles today. We see it all the time in marriages that are healed. We see it in couples that are able to, just like Jeremy and Maya, find the funds to do the things that they need to do to change and transform their marriage. A lot of you decided to get involved with Rescue My Marriage today. That was a step of faith.
Yeah.
You know, you weren't sure where the money was going to come from. You weren't sure how that was going to work. You weren't sure if it was going to work. And yet, day after day, you know, we're seeing those wins or we're getting emails from you guys. Okay. We got another one. This week's questions were very thought provoking and caused good conversation between us.
Right on.
Love that. Love hearing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think it's a miracle we're even together. And it's for sure a miracle that we could somehow afford Rescue My Marriage today. I mean, that's, you know, it's kind of like when you start to look for the positive in your marriage, when you start looking for the positive, you start to see it more and more. And when you step out and you start working in your faith and through your faith, you really start to see that God is answering prayers all the time. And I think a lot of times we get hung up on the fact that we want our God to just answer. We want the microwave response, like, God, I asked you for this, you know, zap my husband, zap my wife, change them.
Right.
Right. And one thing I've learned in, you know, the 20 years, almost 20 years that Tony, I've been doing this marriage thing is that I can probably count on one hand the number of times that God has answered my prayers as fast as I want him to. And, you know, the list is mighty long of the prayers that have been answered, not in my timing. Mm-hmm. And the prayers that were answered, thankfully, not the way I wanted them to be answered, but they are answered prayers nonetheless. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't keep us from praying. It just keeps us leaning in to our faith, leaning into what we need to be spiritually intimate with one another.
And I want to just say, Christy brought up something awesome in our Facebook group. If you guys haven't seen what she was saying, it was just her decision to look at the good, the positive that is happening in her marriage instead of the negative. Mm-hmm. And I want to say, Christy, that you're not alone there, because many of us can go down that path, and it's very easy to go down that negative path. And so when you brought that up, it was, I want to tell you, honestly, a godsend, because I hope you listened to this week's show, because we mentioned it there, the show that came out today, and we've used it with a number of couples. And so it was just, it's so impactful to hear from you guys and sharing, you know, when we put those daily wins up there, hearing from you guys, because we're then able to, again, we don't use your name, it's always anonymous, but we're able to go look at this couple, mm-hmm. look what they're choosing to do and how it's impacting their life. And if I can remember, Christy, if you want to hit in the chat, that, you know, prior to coming into Rescue My Marriage Today, there was constant battles going on. If I remember on the webinar when we were even sharing about Rescue My Marriage Today, you'd mentioned just the constant, you know, sort of fighting, the bickering going on. And so for you guys to have that win to go a week, 2 weeks without that is massive. It is transformational for you guys and for those around you. So keep it up.
And I just want you to know that I am sharing part of that anonymously in this week's I Love You But I Don't Trust You webinar, because I think the fact that Christy mentioned in that post on Rescue My Marriage Today, that even though Tony's doing a lot of the same things that he's been doing, that she's now looking at the positives in that, you know, instead of looking at all the negative things, well, this isn't perfect and this hasn't been done and this and that, it's recognizing and saying, you know what, this has been done. And I have to say, if you haven't read her post.
Okay. And Christy just hit up, she just says, huge battles every day. We haven't had a fight since starting this program, since starting Rescue My Marriage Today. Okay. So there you go. I mean, that's way more than I thought. So awesome. I want to go back up here.
You guys I just want to say one thing at the end of her post there. She made mention of the fact that her husband is super attractive when he's mowing the lawn. And the thing that I want to just point out about that is that that's an everyday task, right? I mean, or once a week, or, you know, depending on where you live. But it's the
ordinary. Here in California,
we don't. But it's one of those ordinary tasks. And yet, when you start looking at it from through positive eyes, then all of a sudden, you know, I mean, she's like, he looked so attractive, or I think very. I'm so excited. I think she said, I'm very excited because he was, you know, looked very attractive mowing the lawn. And I'm just like, well, that was a really good afternoon, evening for Christy and Tony.
He's seriously hot. There you go. Amen.
And I just love that. So let's go back, because I know there was a question.
So here's one, how to pray, go back to that, please. How to pray through really tough times, like how you guys got through the difficulty that almost had you divorce.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I will take you all the way back. It would be February of 2015. Mm-hmm. Tony's parents had sent us away for Valentine's
Day. 2015.
Or 2005. No. Yeah, sorry, 2005. Tony's like, wait, what just happened?
What just happened last year?
In December of 2014, our son Andrew was born at 18 weeks and never took a breath. And I did give birth to him on the labor and delivery floor of our local hospital. So while listening to all of these other newborn baby cries and hearing the joy in the hallway and things like that, there was never going to be that for me in that situation. Mm-hmm. We had had our obstetrician encouraging us to abort. We had, we hadn't told my parents because that was supposed to be their Christmas surprise. And that was probably the darkest season of our marriage. Similar to when Tony came off the trail. But I think the difference being is that we both went into a depression at that point in time. It manifested itself differently after the loss of our son. And I just pulled back. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to cope. And I had lots of people, as many of you who have gone through difficult times in your marriage, will hear things like, well, you know, just pray about it with, you know, just kind of the platitude, or, you know, God's will, whatever God's will is. And, you know, I do believe in God's will and I do believe in prayer, but I don't believe in the platitudes anymore. I don't believe on somebody just patting him on the back. I believe that prayer, we believe that prayer is active. Mm-hmm. And so in that season, when I laid there in that hotel room, when Tony's parents were like, you guys just need to get away for the weekend. It'll be good for you. And I think I've shared this before. I spent the entire weekend, whenever we'd have a meal, looking over Tony's shoulder because I couldn't make eye contact with him. And when we'd lay in the bed, I would lay there seriously like a statue, praying that my husband would not touch me. Mm-hmm. Just praying, like, dear God, don't let him even make a move. I don't care that we're in a hotel. And in that season, a couple of women invited me to a women's retreat, and I thought, oh, I don't want to go spend a bunch of, you know, a bunch of time with these women just praying and worshiping, because I wasn't in a place to worship. Like so many are when your marriage isn't going well, right? You don't want to worship. You don't want to thank God for anything because you're trying to go, okay, where's the good in all of this? So I go to this women's retreat and I'm completely broken, right? My marriage is in the toilet. I've lost a child. I've got a 2-year-old who is dealing with one parent who is basically despondent, that would be me, and one parent who is filled with anger and rage, that would be Tony. And we're falling apart at the seams. We're falling apart. And in that season, I literally cried out and I'm like, God, I don't know what you're going to do. If we got a note, just a pop-up saying our internet connection's unstable. If we pop out, that we're coming right back.
Why it's doing that.
I railed against God. Hey, we're still here. Hold on, guys. Okay. Yep. Video stopped. We know. We are coming back. Are you okay? And you're back. Can you guys hear me? Yes. Okay. Tony's just doing a direct feed into the computer. So I'm just going to continue with the story while he's doing that. But in that season, I railed to God. I just told him, I'm like, you know what? You're not fair. You know, it's not fair that I had to go through this. This is not the journey that I was supposed to be on. I mean, here we are, we're plugged into church and we're working on our marriage and it's not fair. And you know what I learned in that moment, and what I hope all of you, if you don't realize this already, that you will learn, is that God can take our emotions.
There we go.
God can.
Thanks, you guys.
God can absolutely handle everything that, you know, it's okay to be mad. It's okay to question God, because, you know, when I was questioning God and when I was questioning all of these things, I wasn't directing that at Tony. And I wasn't saying this is all your fault, because it wasn't his fault and it wasn't my fault. And, you know, even brokenness in marriage, you know, you can spend a lot of time placing blame and looking at each other. And that's why one of the modules in here was all about forgiveness. You can spend a lot of time going, you know, you. And the truth is, most of the time, God needs to work on us. God needed to heal me. And I needed to walk down that road of healing. And I will tell you, 8 years to the day that Andrew died on December 14th, that would have been 2012. His birthday, his 8-year-old birthday. I'd gone for a walk that morning. We were supposed to be doing our show that Friday morning, and went for a walk and came back and I said, you know, we need to do a show on healing through prayer, healing through the journey. The fact that just like our journey dealing with a broken marriage, and our marriage was so broken. I mean, Tony and I did not, I mean, how Abby got conceived is probably a miracle in and of itself, because we weren't really having, like, you know, in some respects, I know we had to have sex, but it was kind of like an immaculate conception, because I can't tell you like when she was conceived or anything like that, because we were so distant. But in that coming together and her birth, you know, it was the healing process, but we had to pray. We had to lean into God like never before, because I very much, when we first found out we were pregnant, was like, I can't go through this again. Right? I can't go through the brokenness in our marriage. And I kept just pushing into God. I mean, my journals are journals of prayers. Good, you know, the ones where I'm like, God, you're doing everything. It's amazing. And other days where it's like, God, where the heck are you? Mm-hmm. You know? And I think that's one of the things that we need to understand collectively, is that it's okay to question God. It's okay to ask. Five children. Yeah. Mm, it absolutely does tear you apart.
Yeah. Wow.
And my heart breaks for you.
Yeah.
Because, you know, as they often say, there's no word for parents who have lost children.
Right. So I'm gonna cut in here, because we're gonna get a little practical.
Go for it. Yeah.
So for me, it's a little different, because I found myself, and I'm going to share something that actually we even learned from one of our pastors this weekend that I thought was rad, and I'm going to start putting it into play in my prayer life. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that I had to do personally is I needed to be a part of a prayer group. Like, I enjoy that. Once a week, somewhere I am going where I can share, I can open up, I can pray. So that's an area that I go to, I come to. And so that really helps for me. On the other side of it, I take a lot of notes on what my prayers or what I'm asking for. So
I'm going to show you my calendar, or not my calendar, but my prayer journal that I do. So it's just, this is just sort of my journal. I don't know if you guys can see that really well, but on a day of prayer, I will go, and as I'm praying, I'm writing that stuff down. Mm-hmm. I'm writing it down. I have my Bible on my phone app, and as I feel the Lord leading me, I'll start looking at words. I'm very focused on words, like specific words. I feel that God will download a word to me for either for me in season right there, or for somebody in my group at times. And so I'm always looking for opportunities to be able to bless others. So I have a lot of friends, a lot of guy friends that I know who just here in town that are praying for specific things. And so if I hear God speaking to me, I'll just text them and let them know. It's very active for me, and allows me to not only look at myself and only look at, you know, what are we dealing with, but it allows me to open up and be broad and look at other believers, other brothers who are also going through their own times. You know what I mean? Because we band together that way. I also look at a lot of praise. Every couple of weeks I'll do a praise report. So I'll actually go back through like months of prayers that I've written down that I've asked for, and I'll go through them, and it's just a praise of like, wow, this got answered. Wow, this got answered. This got answered. Are they all answered? No. You know, but that means I can go back and continue praying for them, because I sometimes forget of other things because other pressing needs come upon me, and I forget of like, oh, wow, how should I be praying? So that's sort of what I'm doing. And what I want to share with you guys is, no matter what's happening, Pastor Don, who's a guest speaker, who's just awesome. This weekend, and for Elise and I was super awesome. We don't know Pastor Don. He was guest speaker, and Elise and I are sitting there in worship, and he comes down and he just prophesies over us, and it was just amazing. And being in those environments allows you to hear what others are seeing and hearing from God. That's why I say, you know, if you get something for somebody else, pass it on. You may be the blessing they've been looking for, right? So, but anyways, Pastor Don was saying, you know, here's a 5-minute prayer that you can do each day. And so the first minute is of thanks. The second minute, so you go 1 minute of thanks, 1 minute of repentance, 1 minute of preparation, 1 minute of warfare, you know, putting on your armor of God, Ephesians, and then 1 minute of worship. And this is perfect for even couples. You know, hey, is it, you know, we want to pray more together. This is something that Elisa and I are constantly working on and we battle with. And so we share with couples all the time, hey, we don't pray every day together. We pray, we don't pray every day together. But for those of you who are looking for something that you can do together, it may be a 5-minute prayer where each of you are doing 30 seconds of each of those. So, you know, thanks, repentance, preparation, warfare, and then worship. So that's just something to think about in there. All right, so hold on. I saw another question. Hold on. You guys are chatty here today. So we had a lot of discussion about forgiveness and found it also encompasses things you need to let go of that are maybe outside of the scope of forgiveness, but important to move on from. Mm. That's a huge win. Forgiveness, you know, sometimes we got to forgive our spouse on a daily basis, you know, for things of the past, for things of that are present, you know.
I need to just go to the
Okay. Yep. We got our kiddos' lacrosse game and stuff going on. So forgiveness is huge. And when you're able to really discuss that together, it's amazing what begins to happen in your marriage and for you. I truly believe forgiveness isn't about your spouse. It's about you. It's about you letting go and coming to God and going, man, just forgive me for all that I've done. You know, cleanse me, clean me. Whatever you see, whatever I don't see, you know, repenting to things that you know you have done, release it. So that was huge. I love that. Thank you for sharing that. Serious. Okay. Video stop. You were talking about,
okay. That was,
yep.
Okay. There was, okay. Hold on.
In this one right here,
Christy had said a few minutes ago, Tony's looking for a job. I've never prayed for God to handle it. I've always tried to control the situation and then get frustrated with Tony. I finally prayed one night and turned it over to God. The next morning, he was called for an interview. He is still looking, but I'm letting God handle it while I just try to be supportive and uplifting to Tony. Mm-hmm. I'm learning to let go of some control. Baby steps. Prayer works. Mm-hmm. Here's what's so powerful about what is said in this piece in the chat.
So true. So good,
is
Christy.
That
love it.
We, by nature, want to control everything. I mean, even those that would not identify themselves as a control freak, and I'm by nature a control freak. We still want to control aspects of our lives, right? We want to make plans and we want to do this and we want to, you know, we want like, okay, well, if I just do all of these things and line them up, then it should be good for me. And yet the truth is that there are a lot of things that are outside of our control and that we do need to turn it over to God. We need to say, you know what? I can't control all this, nor is it our place to control everything, right? Like I'm not supposed to be in control of, you know, like, Christy said there, you're not in control of whether or not Tony gets a job, right? And by turning it over to God and turning it over to prayer, all of a sudden you're saying, you know what? I'm going to do what I can do, but I'm going to let God do what God's going to do, right? Because God's got his own plan. Mm-hmm. And we can't be trying to do God's job because we stink at that. Human nature, or, you know, human history is full of examples of the fact that when humans try and control everything, we don't do it so well. So I'm so glad to hear that while you're still in the midst of this job search, you understand that your role to uplift and encourage Tony is so much more valuable than controlling every aspect. It's going to make such a shift, and I'm sure it already has, given that you guys are going on like 4 or 5 weeks without fighting, such a shift in what's going on in the dynamic between the two of you. And I do want to say one thing about fighting, though, even though this is kind of off topic with faith, is that even great couples, even couples that have extraordinary marriages, still fight.
We still have
our disagreements. We have our tiffs. We have our things. So while it's great, and trust me, we are applauding you, I just want you to know that it's okay if you still do fight. Mm-hmm. Part of it is, how do you fight? right? Are you learning different ways, more mature ways to handle your disagreements instead of, I think I got three emails today from people that are like, you know, we need to do coaching, not, you know, we need to do coaching because we don't know how to fight well. Everything turns into name calling and saying things that are hurtful and stuff like that. So it's okay to fight. It's okay to have disagreements. Just be more mature in how you handle them.
Right. I love it. Another thing I want to share is we're praying for expectancy. We're praying for solutions. We're not praying to whine and bring our problems. You know what I'm saying? Because that's a mindset shift. And I'm telling you, you know, I don't need to come to God and tell him all my problems. He knows them. I'm coming to him with expectancy, right? Like, I declare a job for Tony in the field that he's looking for, one that will provide for his family, one that will challenge him, you know, one where he'll be in an environment where those who he's surrounded by will be touched by his work ethic, by who he is, changing lives. You know, I'm expecting that. And through that, though, we still need to go after it. You know what I'm saying? We find a lot of folks, I mean, obviously, we reach 180 countries. We have 100 plus thousand downloads a month of the show. We have so many people who just say, I've been praying. Okay, well, how long have you been praying for? I've been praying for 3 years. What have you done? Nothing.
I've been praying.
And you guys know it because you guys are the upper echelon. You guys know it. Elise and I are all about intention. We're all about taking action. Jesus didn't just go around and do miracles. The blind man, he just didn't go, hey, you can see again. No, he spit in the mud. He mixed it, right? Or he spit in the dirt. He mixed it. He picked it up and then he put it on his eyes.
He said, but it actually didn't happen the first time.
Right.
The blind man, it's a two-step miracle.
Right.
You know, and I think that's, you know, again, it goes back to the expectancy of we want a microwave God. Mm-hmm. And God's like, can you show up, please?
Yeah.
Can you get involved in your own miracle? I mean, the blind man had to stand there while Jesus spit and put dirt on his eyes twice.
Yeah, that's right. And so I have a couple books I want to share. Questions, you guys, hit us up. We want to hear where are you guys feeling stuck, a bottleneck? Where is it? Is it praying together? Is it praying by yourself? Is it, how are you going to be able to approach this? Obviously you guys have been going through the modules, talking about it, some good questions there, maybe getting that conversation going. I want to say prayer is one of the most intimate times. And I'm going to talk to my men here, my husbands right now. Men, we got to stand up. We got to stand up and we got to ask our wives to pray with us. It's our duty, I believe, it's our duty to come to them and say, honey, I want to pray with you. And for you guys that were listening last week and heard us talk about our coffee break, one of the big things that I have said on our coffee break the last 3 weeks is that Elisa and I would pray at least one time each week. And that means that Elisa doesn't bring it up to me. It is my responsibility. You know, it is my responsibility to go and start that. Okay, hold on. How do you get past the awkward? Oh, no. What if listening to him pray grates on me? I think that's a great question.
One of the things about, I'm going to pull both Jeremy and Amaya's two points together. So what if listening to him pray grates on me? It's a problem. His prayers lack authenticity and it drives me nuts. One thing I would say is not everybody knows how to pray.
It's a learned skill.
I will tell you that our prayers from when Tony and I first started praying together to where they are now, I don't even know that I would recognize the Elisa that started praying with power all those years ago.
Right.
Like, dear God, thank you. Dear God, if it's your will. Like Tony said, we now pray with expectancy. We declare, we break off. That's how we do that. And what I would say is, you know, I know that you guys, Jeremy and Amaya specifically, you guys are plugged into a C3 church up there in Toronto. I would actually start surrounding yourself by those who can pray up there. We are in a C3 church here in San Diego. My experience is that with C3 churches is that these folks know how to pray. And it's asking, it's learning. Tony, do you want to share a couple of those books?
And that's what I was going to say. You can't expect here's the one thing I'll have to say in marriage. And it's interesting when it comes to spiritual intimacy. There's always a wife, it seems like, and I did say always, because I feel like women in particular tend to look at their husbands and never allow them to grow spiritually. So they snuff them out before they can even grow, if you know what I'm saying. They're constantly going, well, why can't he be like that? Because I pray wonderfully. Like, I pray all the time with my girlfriends, and I pray alone. And we're all in different places. We're all differently learning how to grow in this area. And so going back to what Christy is doing, you know, she's looking for that positive piece of what her husband is doing, allows him to grow. You know, too often we're snuffed out. When Elisa laughed at me when we were trying to pray, believe me, I didn't want to pray again. Mm. You know? And so there's this, oh, well, you're not as spiritually gifted as I am, so it just grates on me and I can't stand it. So you're not allowing him to grow. Let him grow. You know, sow into him, right? Speak words of truth and encouragement into him. Water that seed and watch it grow. There will be a harvest. It may just not be in your time frame. And there may be learning where some of us men need to be around other men to learn how to pray. So, and we see all what you guys are saying. So here's a great book. I would recommend all of you guys to get it. I think I even put it in our, hold on. I didn't. I will make sure to put this one in there. This is a fantastic book, Push. It's by our pastor. And it just, pray until something happens. And he really goes over how you can do it. Another one that's great, Prayer That Brings Revival. David Cho has the largest church in the world. It's in South Korea. There's something around like 750,000 members, and they pray daily. I mean, it's just crazy the stuff that they got going on there. So I like what Christy said. Take turns. You got it.
So, and then there, okay, hold right on. Here. How do you get past the awkwardness of praying together? We both pray alone, but not as a couple.
Such a great question. Love it.
Practice.
I even still feel awkward at times.
Practice.
Right.
It is definitely, think of it as like the first time you guys were physically naked together, right? It's awkward. You know, it's, you know, you get the couples that kind of like get into bed and then they like strip and they have sex and then they like grab a robe and hop back out because, you know, like we don't want to be seen naked.
Right.
Right. And you go through that and, you know, depending on where you are in your marriage, some of you may still be in that place where it's like, I'm just going to get naked in bed because I'm not comfortable being naked, you know, physically like walking around the house. The same thing, but you start working towards that, right? Like, okay, well, maybe we'll have sex with the lights on, right? Or maybe we'll have sex during the day, right? And all these mm-hmm. different things where you're like, okay, well, I'm going to see a little bit more, right? Or we're going to try new positions, right? Because we're going to get past that awkwardness. The same thing happens as you learn to pray together. And it's one of those things that you can't just pray once a year together and expect it to get better.
It's almost like the intimacy lifestyle. Why do so many folks in the one family do the intimacy lifestyle now? Because they are having sex more often, they're connecting more sexually, emotionally, and they're learning about each other. So if you only pray once a year together, it's going to be tough every single time. Here's key thing too. You guys have heard us share this, walk and talks. Elisa and I tend to pray on our walk and talks. It's something that we're moving. We're moving forward. It's not this solemn, like we have to hold hands and close our eyes and be in this place. I mean, literally those prayers are probably 2 minutes each. I mean, it's probably for a total of maybe like 5 minutes of our walk that we're just going, okay, we're going to just pray. And during that time, it's one of those things where in my mind, I'm encouraging Elisa. Like, I'm encouraging her to share authentically where she's at, what she's dreaming about, what's going on. And so I try to take myself out of the picture of trying to be critical. Like, this isn't a place for me to be critical. This is a place for me to just be listening and hearing
where she's at and what the Holy Spirit's speaking to me, because he may be speaking to me to share something with her afterwards. So that place might be a big thing. You remember like how we always say is like, when you want to talk about sex, don't do it right before sex in your bedroom where there's all this expectation. Take it somewhere else. Like, do it beforehand. Like, if you want to talk about foreplay or other things, talk about that way before you're even going to go have sex. So that way you have the stuff available the next time you have sex. Same thing with prayer. Again, I'm going to say, man, we just come to you as a couple who've gone through the ringer with this. So felt like just like we couldn't get it right. And so we wouldn't do it. And I'm telling you, there's no right or wrong way. God just wants to hear from you.
Can I address something with that? Because yeah. Well, I'd love it for those of you that are in church, okay. It's one of those things where so often, you know, you'll hear from the pulpit, you two need to get up early and do a devotional together. We heard for you and getting up early and doing a devotional together, that doesn't work in season. It's never worked for us. We've tried it. We've had some success doing a nighttime devotional before bed.
Mm-hmm. That's worked.
And what we have found now and where we are in the season, I mean, you heard Tony say this, you know, we pray individually. And then when we are on our walk and talks, that's our time to pray together. Does it happen every day? Does it, you know, is it one of those different things? You find the rhythm that mm-hmm. works. It's the same thing, like Tony said, with the intimacy lifestyle. Adapt the intimacy lifestyle for your prayer life. Tweak it to fit you, but be intentional about it and keep trying, right? Right. You know, if it's 3 days on and 3 days out, yeah, that's why people love the intimacy lifestyle, because they get to customize it mm-hmm. to them. So
yeah, so it's taking that step and really saying, okay, where are we going to begin? Mm-hmm. And I really want to, again, guys, you know, if you're going to say you want to pray once this week, then put it on your calendar. Let her know that this is a day we're going to pray, that we're going to make it happen. We're going to do this. And don't take that lightly. This is like when we talk about trust, you know, everything we say, our actions speak words. So if I say I'm going to do it, then you better believe I'm going to do it. And I was just at my men's retreat, and believe me, being a co-leader for one of the teams, how many men came up to me and shared how they just feel like, I don't know where to start. I don't know how to start. You know, you got to open your mouth. And you guys have been working on that through Rescue My Marriage Today, right? I mean, we've built up. You got so much more wisdom than these other guys, because I only have a couple of minutes sometimes to talk to them and impart on them. But you guys have been going through this. You guys have been connecting with each other, watching the videos, talking through the worksheets. You guys have such a leg up that it's amazing. It's just being able to find your rhythm. And what is that? You know, if you try something and it doesn't work, it's not failure. And I'm going to tell you guys that right now. And again, if you try something and it doesn't work, it's not failure. You just learned a way that it didn't work for you guys. And there's going to be another way. Mm-hmm. So if Elise and I do it with walk and talks, that may not be for you. It may be that you are that couple that loves to get up early in the morning and spend that time in devotion. I mean, if you want to do something, here's something that I do with a men's group now. You can cut the time down and do what fits for you. But this group of men, what we do is we come together, we pray. We pray over our week. We pray for what we're looking for. We pray for expectancy, whatever it may be. We go around the circle. And we have music on. We love having our worship music on that just allows us to be in that state of mind. Then we take about a half. So that usually lasts about 15 minutes because we have anywhere from 6 to 10 guys. We try to get through that in 15 minutes. The next half an hour, we go off and do our own thing. We have music on again. It's playing. We get to pray wherever we are at. You know, whatever we're doing, some guys are in their devotionals, like they're going through specific devotionals for their life that they're applying. Others of us, like myself, I'm praying, I'm writing down, I'm looking at my Bible, looking for specific words that God's putting on my heart. And then we come back for the last 15 minutes and we pray expectancy over each other. And so, you know, for you guys, if it's just the two of you, you could, you know, it could be in that moment in that time where you had your prayer time, it's speaking that, like, this is what I'm expecting in our life, in our marriage, with work, whatever it may be. And then you're praying that over yourself and your spouse, and then vice versa. It's only the two of you. And so, and in that area, I mean, you know, for us, we're a group of guys, we huddle around in a circle. For you guys, you may hold hands, you know, for you guys may, it may just be, it's, you know, you're sitting by you next to one another, but there's no right or wrong way. You know, we just need to find what works best for you guys that allows you to do it. And again, does it have to be every day? No. Elisa and I, you know, we're good solid once a week. And my goal, you know, for this week is that we do it twice a week.
Mm-hmm. And it's one of those things where, I will say it's been a game changer for us praying together. And the reason it's been a game changer, and the reason why I would encourage each and every one of you, if you aren't already taking advantage of at least one time a week to pray together, to make that an action item for this next week, mm-hmm. is that just like I was talking about being physically naked, it's a way to get emotionally naked. Mm-hmm. You know, when you are praying for what is truly the desires of your heart, there is a vulnerability there that you may not often allow your spouse to see. And in choosing to do so in that spiritual intimacy, you add a layer, of depth to your marriage that is nothing like, I mean, when Tony and I pray together, there's no other word for it. I mean, it's deep. And that sounds so cliche to say, wow, that's really deep. But it brings a whole new layer to our marriage. And it's something that we did not have. And you got to think, we're going on 20 years. I would say the spiritual intimacy is probably the first 15 years that it really wasn't there.
No, not at all. Yeah.
Are you agreeing?
Yeah, I'm agreeing. Okay. No, no, no. I just remember reading something the other night that I want to share with everybody.
And so, you know, it's one of those things where it is a learned skill and it is awkward. You know, Barry and Lana asked that question earlier. And there are times when you're going to feel like your spouse is just not getting it right. Well, you know what? Their prayer is not being said to be right for you. Right? Their prayer, whatever they are praying, however they are praying it, is a conversation between them and God that they, you know, when you, the two of you are doing it together with God in the middle, that is a conversation, the three of you. But it, like Tony said, it's not my job to criticize how Tony talks to God. It's not. Does he talk to God the same way I do? No. Do I talk? No. It's kind of like our regular conversations. We don't talk the same way to each other. So encourage your spouse to pray. There aren't very many things in Rescue My Marriage today that I wish I could require you guys to do. Praying together is one of them. Mm-hmm. You know, that and the intimacy lifestyle and using your feeling words. Yes. There's a few of them.
So here's another great book I'm reading. And guys and gals, I would recommend that you each pick this up and read it, because there's some wisdom in this that is just awesome. It's called Maximize Manhood. There's over a million of these in print. And Dr. Edwin Cole wrote this many, many years ago. But it's just enlightening. Some of the stuff that he's bringing up in here that just allows me as a husband to realize where, you know what, I want to step up. And, he just brings some really good revelation to me when it comes to prayer. And so here's something that he shares, and I want to read it real quick. When a man prays with his wife, he becomes intimate with her. Why we call this one of our intimacies, right? In true spiritual prayer, the intimacy developed is far greater than physical union. It is in spirit. A woman praying for her husband develops an intimacy with him in spirit that draws her to him. She identifies with his needs and thus helps to meet them. The failure of the man to pray for his wife means that he can have a physical intimacy, but he does not develop the intimacy of spirit that produces true oneness. And it just, I thought about that and I'm like, wow, what a change happened even for Elisa and I when we really begin to pray. I mean, our physical intimacy is awesome. Our sexual intimacy is awesome. But to truly, you know, allow, you know, where, I forget who said, but the forgiveness piece of it, right? Truly being able to lay that down prior to getting into bed and having known that Elisa's forgiven me for all my past, you know, all the junk that's happened and vice versa, allows us to be so open and honest sexually, right? That we can truly be, you know, in that moment to enjoy one another. But that was allowed through a lot of our spiritual breakthroughs that we've had.
Absolutely.
So that's another book that I will also put in our resources for you guys to check out, because that's one of the books that I've just recently picked up and just am really loving it.
So as we've been hitting this whole idea of prayer pretty hard, because I know there are a lot of questions and how do you do it and when do you do it and how do you handle, you know, and there have been times, guys, where seriously Tony's praying and I'm like, where is that coming from? And yet I realize that's not my place. Mm-hmm. Right. And so I bite my tongue and I'm just like, that's his prayer time. Mm-hmm. Right. And it's my job to encourage, not my job to criticize. So what other questions or conversation?
Yeah. Do we have?
Do we have out of this module? Because we want to make sure, especially since there's, okay. I could never criticize anyone for the prayer. I did laugh at my grandma once because we were hungry and she prayed for over 20 minutes, including a poem. And my aunts and uncles kept saying amen to get her to finish. And she says, I'm not done. The fact that they are praying is awesome to me and they are talking to God, not me. Yeah, we have it. Sometimes Tony prays true. A little long at dinner time and the kids try the amen thing. It doesn't work. He's not done till he's done. But I think that's a good point is all that, right. You know, they're talking, the conversation is with God. And, you know, your spouse is allowing you the privilege. It's a gift. Being able to hear, and I think we need to treat it like that. If your spouse allows you to hear them pray out loud to God, treat that as a precious gift. You know, treat it as the most precious gift that they could get. It's like giving you their heart, right? Because they're sharing their intimate feelings. They're sharing what their desires are. They're sharing what their fears are. They're sharing what their worries are. Mm-hmm. So you wouldn't take their heart and trample all over it and be like, well, that's stupid, right? That's not important. You wouldn't do that to their heart because it's precious. Take their prayers, and you guys can't see it. I'm holding my hands like this. Take their prayers and view it the same way. Thinking about praying in front of my husband makes me feel very vulnerable. I have to stop and think he feels the same way. Just amen. That's
knowledge dropped. Right there.
That is absolutely true.
Mm-hmm. We do. I'm going to say, man, I get in a group. There's one group here that prays on Tuesday mornings, 5 a.m. Holy cow. You got 50 to 60 men getting together and starts at 5 a.m. And here's another thing that you could do too. I just thought about this one. This is cool. So we do an hour because there's 60 of us, but we do an hour of God stories. And for you guys, you may need to just share God stories with each other. Like, how has God like just been in your life this week? Mm-hmm. And I like that we may have to even start doing that put on our walks. I like that. And then go into prayer and then say, we're just working with you guys just even allows us to open up and think. So God stories, where's God shown up? Where? Share them. I mean, just go crazy. Is it, you know, I had the opportunity to do some work on a woman's car this past week, and her son, who has been addicted to drugs for the last 8 years, is coming home after 5 months in rehab up in Newport Beach, which is just north of us. And God was speaking to me to pray while I was working on this car. Just pray for this kid. You know, he's 27, maybe 28, just had a battle, you know, 8 years of it, just in it. And, you know, I don't know if they were believers or not, but I'll tell you, man, the God story in it is, it was a nasty dent on this car and everything. And I went up to the gal and, the mom, and I said, hey, come on, check this out. And she knew it wasn't going to be perfect. I told her that before I even started. So I said, hey, I don't know if you're a believer or not, but all I'm going to tell you is that in the 17 years that I've been in this business of mine, I've never have been so pressed upon to pray on a car ever. She's like, what? I'm like, you know, just your son. I know you mentioned him just briefly, and I just been, you know, just wrapping this car in prayer, because I know when he walks into it, when he sees it for the first time, this is going to be a new beginning for him. Like he's turned the corner, and this car isn't going to be of his old self, but of his new self, you know? And so as we're walking towards the car and we turn the bend and I show her what I repaired, I mean, just tears welled up in her eyes. And she was just floored at what it looked like. And this old car, I mean, it was like an 06 Sentra or whatever, but it was just so miraculously just cleaned up. And her boy, who she's going to pick up, who's just been struggling and is now clean, is going to have a new start. Mm-hmm. So, you know, God stories, share them with each other. Maybe it's a way to just give you that feeling of like, wow, we're really going after this. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the coolest things in that men's group. I haven't made it since we started Rescue My Marriage Today, because it's on Tuesday mornings and we have calls and it gets a long day for me. So I go to another one, but it's just amazing, because then we group up, and again, you know, you may want to do that, you know, hey, each of you do one, you know, what's one God story this week that you see or have seen, and then go into a prayer, you know, solutions, you know, go into it, you know, bear it up, you know, let it go, release it. And so, you know, and in that situation, we typically, we allow the brothers to get in a circle, they pray, and then we, those around, usually, you know, it's groups of four or five. Again, for you guys, it's going to be one. You hear your spouse's prayers, and then you get to pray over them. Like you get to pray over them, which is a whole nother deal. So that's another thing. So just something to think about. Okay, so
God performs miracles daily. We are his mouthpiece. It's our job to share and let others know he is still in business.
Yep.
And that's the thing too. And you don't have to wait for your prayer time with your spouse to call if you've got a God story. We had an incident literally yesterday morning. I had done that 5-minute prayer that Tony put up in the chat.
Yep.
Specifically praying for repentance in a certain area, just some unforgiveness that I was harboring in my heart towards an individual, not Tony. And, you know, so I just prayed. I'm like, okay, God, you know, just take this away. And I wrote in my journal something to the effect of, as long as I have unrepentance in my heart, there's no room for growth, right? Because God's not going to occupy the same space of my unforgiveness. He can't. I'm holding on to it too tight. It's that whole control thing that somebody put up there. So I just, you know, I kept praying, and it's something that's been on my mind for a long time. And so I pray it. I go through the 5 steps. And seriously, no joke, or probably 2 hours later, an incident came, it literally fell into my lap, where it had to be a God thing, because there were just certain things in this conversation that seriously came out of my prayer, and it was, you know, it was just a prayer between me and God. And so I immediately called Tony. I'm like, you're not going to believe what just happened. And yet he's just like, yeah, I do. That was just God. You know, like we don't, Tony and I don't do coincidences anymore. Right? Because those are just God incidences. That's where God's showing up. It's not a coincidence that
you guys are in this. Believe yeah. me, before this program was even started, we were praying over those people. Mm-hmm. We were praying over you guys. We were praying over couples who needed to hear this. And so, and we didn't stop, and we haven't stopped, you know, since you've been in this, because we believe in you guys, and we believe in the restoration of marriage, and we believe in the foundation of marriage, and we believe that each and every one of you will have breakthrough, which you guys have been having. You know, that's why we do our daily wins and see those breakthroughs that are happening. And so it's something that we will continue to do. It's something that we do for the one family often. You know, it's not uncommon for us to get, you know, a few emails every day, you know, just people just needing prayer, because they're stuck. They need something. And so it's something that we, you know, value very much here at One.
And I agree absolutely with that last line. He is still in business. Yes, mm-hmm. He is. He's still working miracles. He's still impressing upon each one of us, you know, the fact that we can love, we can forgive, we can grow.
Yeah.
So I think that's a fabulous last line. We're coming up almost on the hour. And, you know, to be respectful of everybody's time, just want to make sure that if there are any more questions about this particular module, you know, faith and marriage, that we get those questions answered. we don't want to get off without making sure that you guys are taken care of for this week.
Right. And next module will be going up. This is all about finances, and we have a doozy of videos and worksheets for you guys. Like, we didn't go down the typical path here, just as a heads up. We weren't doing everybody else's stuff. We were really digging for some different places that, you know, money and finances really touch marriages, mm-hmm. right? Because we know you can get a book on finances at Amazon each and every day. So we got 7 videos just sort of diving into some different areas that we think you guys are really going to dig. If you have any questions about them, you know, by all means, hit the Facebook group. We want to make sure that we answer those questions throughout the week. And if not, we're going to see you here next week.
I'm just reading the question.
Yeah. I think we're going to pray for everybody.
Yeah. Pray we can do the finance part and not fight.
All right.
We can definitely pray for that. And here's the thing, you know, just looking towards next week, finances are one of those areas that can definitely create a lot of tension. So agree ahead of time that, you know, kind of what your strategies are going to be. You know, as you're having those conversations, if you're going to call a timeout before it gets to the fight part and revisit, if you're going to maybe answer the worksheets ahead of time and then, you know, come and share your ideas. You know, again, having, Tony just said, I have no finances, so I can't fight with you about it. Okay, we're laughing with you guys.
Yes.
It's all, you know, it'll be interesting. Share with us what happens there.
There's a lot on forgiveness, and I don't want to, we talked about it a bit already. We have a number of different like videos on forgiveness where we go really deep into that, plus some shows that we've done on forgiveness. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to add those all on the resources. Okay. For sure. And then do you want to go over this?
Well, I want to say a couple of things.
Because we have that quick. Whole video on
absolutely.
Forgiveness here in the module as well.
But I want to say forgiveness can feel like the insurmountable wall when things have been really tough in your marriage. Because a lot of times we get really hung up on the fact that somebody doesn't deserve to be forgiven. Uh-huh. Right? Like what they've done to me, and we get all justified in our anger and in our, you know, what they've done to me and how they've hurt me. And if they knew this was going to cause this grief, why would they do this to me? And so we get our justification armor gets, you know, like we put it on and we puff up our chests. And, you know, you think about those guys, you know, just as a visual, you know, if you've ever seen those caricatures of guys at the gym with their weights and, you know, they're like strutting around, and of course you can't see me on video, but you know what I'm talking about, the guys with the big chest, right? And they're walking around like, oh, I'm all that, the Incredible Hulk. And, you know, I remember hearing a pastor say this once, you know, talking about the justification of our unforgiveness. And he said, you know, when you're holding on to all of that, when you feel justified, I really want you to think about the fact that Christ died on that cross for your sins, right? He took all of your sins, right? All of the times that you lied, all of the times that you hurt somebody else, he took all of that, and he didn't say, well, you know what? I'm not going to forgive you for that one. He didn't say, you know what? That one hurts too much. He didn't say, you know what, that one's too big. You know, like I'll forgive all of the ones up to this line, but now you've crossed the line and I'm not going to go there. And so whenever I feel that justification coming on, when I'm like, they hurt me, I'm justified in holding on to my anger, resentment, unforgiveness, I have to actually take a step back and say, you know what, Jesus did not draw the line for me. He did not draw the line in the sand and say that one. Mm-hmm. And I was actually just reading in Christine Kane's book, Unashamed, about the woman caught, it's in the other room, about the woman caught in adultery. And, you know, the fact that Jesus drew a line in the sand, but the line in the sand wasn't to stop her from coming close. It was actually to stop everyone else from casting those stones.
Wow.
Right? And so, so I get it. The hurts are real. And when we've been hurt, we feel like the only thing that we have to hold on to is our unforgiveness. But the truth is that the unforgiveness and holding on to that doesn't do anything for anybody. It definitely doesn't heal your marriage. It definitely doesn't change the behaviors. All it does is make you feel like crap, right? Because you just hold on to it and it literally is like a cancer that eats you up from the inside. Mm-hmm. Forgiveness is not, and I know I said it it's in the worksheets and it's on the video. Forgiveness is not about saying what you did was okay. Jesus never said, you know what, I'm going to forgive you and what you did was okay. He never said that about anything that we did as our sins were, you know, nailing him to that cross. What he said was, Father, forgive them for they don't know what they do. And in the parentheses, I think it says, and I love them enough that I will take this because I don't want to be separated and I don't want them to be separated. Right? Mm-hmm. So as hard as it is, I want you to remember the model that we have for forgiveness and to go back to Jesus. You know, Google on, you know, Bible Gateway or whatever. Like when you need those verses on forgiveness, find them. There are hundreds of verses on forgiveness in different ways. But go back to God's word because it makes it so much easier to deal with the word of humans, mm-hmm. the word of man.
Right.
So do you want to pray for these guys?
Yeah. Are we good? And like I said, I'm going to add all this stuff in. We're going to get module 6 up. Mm-hmm. So you guys will have all of that. Replay will be up tomorrow. So that is it. We got a lot going on. We got a couple more weeks. And so we're going to keep you guys posted. Remember what I said from the very beginning, focus, 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 stay focused, you know, this week, stay focused, you know, if it's prayer and forgiveness and, you know, as you're going through the new stuff, you know, look at that. How are you going to pray over your finances? How are you going to, you know, pray for forgiveness when your spouse overspent, you know, hey, some Christmases ago, you know, Lisa overspent on our Christmas, man, that put us in a bind. I forget which show it was, but we went over it.
There's like 3 of them.
Yeah. I mean, it put us in a bind that I was so upset. I was so frustrated. I mean, it was in a time when the businesses were just struggling. And I mean, I had to seriously just come to God and just be like, I have to forgive. I need to forgive her. You know, we got to get through this together, but Lord, just take away this unforgiveness from me. Because it wasn't only hindering our emotional intimacy, it was hindering our spiritual intimacy, it was hindering our sexual intimacy, it was hindering everything. And I wish I could say, hey, it just went away. No, it took many, multiple times of me just going, you know, if it came rearing its ugly head, because the devil loves to do that sort of stuff. He wants to take us out of the game, you know, he wants to take us out. And, you know, it was in those moments and times when I just had to say, you know what, I forgive her. You know, I forgive, you know, those transgressions. It's water under the bridge at this point in time. And we're going to move together. We're going to move forward together, knowing that we have each other's back. Mm-hmm. So, all right, you guys, you want to pray as well? We will both pray.
Yeah.
We'll end it up here. It doesn't need to be crazy long. Yeah. So, you want me to start it?
No. Yeah.
You want me to start?
Go for it.
I'll start. All right. All right.
Getting in the zone.
All right. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just declare victory over each and every one of these couples, Lord Jesus. Lord, I just ask that the chains are broken off of them. Anything that may be binding them, Lord, is broken off of them, Lord Jesus. Be it unforgiveness, Lord Jesus. Be it, just a hardened heart, Lord Jesus Christ. You know, trust, whatever may be on them, Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, I just ask that it is broken right here, right now, Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, for those that are out of work, Lord Jesus, we lift them up to you, Lord Jesus. We declare, Lord, that interviews are going to start coming in, Lord Jesus. Mm-hmm. Lord, we declare that there are going to be connections made, Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we know you can do all things, Lord mm-hmm. Jesus. So we pray a prayer of strength over each and every one of these mm-hmm. couples, Lord Jesus. Lord, that there is strength, that they are bound together, Lord Jesus, knowing that they are fighting together, Lord Jesus, over the problems that are attacking them, Lord Jesus. Lord, I just ask that there is a legion of angels mm-hmm. around each and every one of them, protecting them, Lord Jesus, knowing, Lord Jesus, that you are there always with them, Lord. Lord, and I just declare breakthrough. Mm.
I just declare breakthrough in their lives, Lord Jesus, that there's prosperity coming in many different areas of their lives, Lord, that there's abundance coming in different areas of their lives. New friendships are flourishing, Lord Jesus, around them who are going to speak life into them, Lord Jesus. Each and every one of these folks here, Lord Jesus, they are a light. They are a light on top of the city, Lord Jesus, that is shining brightly, that is showing couples that no matter what is attacking them, they can still move forward. They're not perfect. We're not perfect, Lord Jesus, but that testimony that they have is a testimony of encouragement to others, Lord Jesus. So I lift up each and every one of them knowing and knowing that the battle is still raging and we're still going to fight. We're going to fight for your glory. We're going to fight for your kingdom, Lord Jesus. And I ask that each and every one of them, that they just begin to take territory in their own home, Lord Jesus, that territory is theirs. Nothing is going to come in between them. Nothing's going to bind them up. Nothing is going to take them down. That home is theirs. And Lord, we just ask a protection over each and every one of them. In your mighty name, we pray.
Father God, I just want to thank you for every couple that made the decision all those weeks ago to step out in faith and say, you know what, we want a better marriage. Yep. And we know, Holy Spirit, that you are at work in each one of these couples' lives, changing them, changing their heart, opening their mind to the possibilities that exist within you, Lord. We know that nothing that we do on our own, that we do as a tool for you and to bring you glory, God. And I know that as these couples are, you know, going through the modules, as they're asking the questions, as they're digging deeper into these conversations, God, that you are with them each and every step of the way. They are not doing this by themselves. They are not in this by themselves. They are not, but you know, you say in your word, a cord of three strands is not easily broken. You are that third strand between the husband and the wife, uniting them together, being the resource that they can use, Lord God, that you are with them in their challenges and you're with them in their victories, God, and you have an extraordinary marriage plan for them. Where they are today is not where you've destined them to be. You have so many things in store for them. I think of Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. God knows the plans for your marriage. He knows the story that is being written. As you go through this test, it's going to become part of your testimony. As you deal with things that you haven't dealt with in the last, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20 years, God is using those so that you are going to be, like Tony said, that light on the hill. You are going to be that couple that other people look to and say, what is different about them? And you're going to be able to say, you know what, this is God at work in our lives. Sure. This is God saying, you know what, I've got great things in store for your marriage. That great thing is changing a legacy. It's changing your community. Every time that you make a decision that is for your marriage, every time you listen to the prompting of the Holy Spirit that says, love on your spouse, when you say, forgive instead of holding the unforgiveness, when you say, I'm going to serve instead of being selfish, every time that you follow one of those promptings, you are stepping out and stepping into the marriage that God has designed for you. Mm-hmm. And I want you to know that we see victory in each and every one of your marriages. We see that as God has designed amazing things for your marriage, you are walking that path. It is not an easy path. You know, God never promised us that it would be, you know, all unicorns and rainbows, but he did promise to always be with us till the end of the age. And I want you to know that we hold tight to him. We pray over your marriages for victory and success. We pray for comfort and peace. We pray for kind words and we pray for communication. We pray for intimacy to be deepened on each and every level. We pray that those things that they have held the two of you back from having the marriage you desire, that they are broken off. We declare that they will no longer be a hindrance to you, that the two of you will choose to do marriage differently, that it will not be the way of the past, will not be the way of your present and the way of your future, that today is a new day in your marriage and tomorrow is a new day in your marriage, and that what God has brought together, that, you know, where it says the two shall become one, we declare that oneness in your marriage. We declare unity. We declare peace and we declare prosperity over each and every one of you. And prosperity means abundance in all areas of your marriage. And we know that we serve a mighty God who is able to do the impossible. There is no impossible for God. So where you think God can't do a good thing, where you think God can't make change, guess what? He can. And you need to believe in it and you need to talk to him and you need to build your relationship with him. And it is amazing the transformation that your marriage will experience when the two of you press in and lean on the God of the universe. And you will see transformational work done, not just in your life, but in your spouse's life and in your marriage. And we ask each and every one of these promises. We declare God's promises over your marriage. And we do all of that in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Awesome. Whew. All right, there we go. go get it, you guys. We will, we'll see you guys in the group. So anything comes up, you let us know. And we love you guys. What an awesome, awesome night. Thank you so much, man. Wow. Thank you so much. It was truly, truly awesome to be on with you guys tonight because, man, we do. We love you guys so much and just excited for what's still to come. So let's get at it. We got two more modules and we're going to bust through. All right. Love you guys. Bye. Boom.
Is there a couple things in there that we want to pull out?